The sermon you are about to listen to is a Stream Globe Word Encounter sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can contact us by visiting our website www.streamglobe.org or www.streamglobedevotional.com.
And if you design that, you know that it will help you. Because the degree to which you design the body of Christ is the degree to which you will enjoy the benefits of that body. The degree to which you design the body of Christ is the degree to which you will enjoy the benefits of the body. So there are many believers, for example, who are not enjoying the benefit of divine health because in some areas of their lives, they are not rightly designing the body of Christ. And what does it mean to rightly design the body of Christ? It means to see your brothers. One of the ways is to see your brothers and sisters in Christ as your true brothers and sisters. The what joins you together is stronger than flesh and blood. Many times we behave, we don't know that, but it's true. If your biological brother does not accept Jesus Christ, you will only know him for, if you live for up to 90 years, you know him for maybe 90 years. But your spiritual brother, you will know him for all of eternity. You get what I'm saying? These are people that you will share eternity together with. You will share the kingdom of God with. And so you have to be careful to rightly discern the body of Christ. Of course, you may not be able to know every Christian. But the Christians that you are close to, the Christians that God has caused your path to cross, let your love for them be genuine. Jesus Christ said that when we love one another, this is how even the world will know that we are disciples of Christ. There is something that we have that the devil cannot mimic. The devil can mimic power. He can mimic utterance. In fact, the Bible says that the devil can transform himself to an angel of light. You've seen that in your Bible? He can mimic a lot of things, but there's one thing that the devil cannot mimic. He cannot mimic love. He doesn't have the ability. The Bible says, beloved, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You see, that thing that they celebrated yesterday, Valentine's Day, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the love that is not self-centered. You know, most of the love you have in the world is, do me, I do you love. Yeah, you know now. So do me, I do you love. I love you because you came from my body. You are my child. I love you because you are my brother. It's about the premise for the love is me. There's somewhere my own there. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's a kind of love that is stronger than all of that. And there is the only people that have the ability and the spiritual capacity to have this kind of love are those that are born of God. Amen. The only people. And so that is one thing that even when the principalities and powers see, they can't understand it. Because let me tell you something. The greatest spiritual power is released when you walk in love. It is this love that has the ability to love even your enemies. Humanly speaking, it's not possible to love your enemies. The natural thing to do for your enemies is to hate them. And this love, the first place that we display this love is among brethren. Christian brethren must love each other. If we don't love each other, we are disobedient. Because that's the commandment of Jesus. Say, love as I have loved you, love one another. Amen. Just like in a family, sometimes a family member can do something that you don't like. A family member can offend you. But will you say because your sister offended you, you will not love your sister again? No. Yes, believers can offend you. In fact, we can be behaving in a way that we don't like. But that doesn't take away the underlying love. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. Because we're actually looking at our topic today, and today is going to be very, very... Look at the notes. It's been long I've preached like this. So this is real Bible study. I want to beg you, if you have writing material, put it to use. If I knew, I would have put it in text message that please come with your writing material, because today is going to be very, very methodical. We are going from step to step, line on line. This is very, very important, a very important topic that we are examining. It's called the love of God. The love of God. And we'll be starting our Bible reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. If you are there, you can read it. But please, before you read, collect the microphone so that the recording can capture your voice. If you don't have a writing material, no problem. This sermon is recorded, so just try and get a copy of it and listen to it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. If you are there, please, you can read it for us. Ephesians chapter 3.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I hope you follow that reading. It says that when you know the love of God, you will be filled. It will now be possible for you to be filled with all the fullness of God. You can be filled with God, but not the fullness of God. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. How does Christ dwell in our hearts? By faith. What does that mean? Those that have Christ dwelling in their hearts, first of all, believe that Christ dwells in them. What you believe is very, very powerful in the kingdom of God. So when you believe that Christ dwells in your heart because you have accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior, you will begin to see the proof. You begin to see the evidence that Christ is dwelling in your heart. So if you are a believer, even if you have been in the church all your life, you have been baptized in water, you fasted more than 500 days in your lifetime or more than 1,000 days, but you don't believe that Christ dwells in your heart, you will not experience that reality. So do you believe that Christ dwells in your heart? Amen.
Amen.
You know, there are some people that the devil told them that because they told a lie or they committed one sin, that Christ left them. And even though they have repented, they still believe that Christ left them. And because of that, they cannot walk in the power of Christ. Because remember that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. So in order for you to have the reality, I'm not just talking about you just believing, because believing, faith produces everything you see in this world was created by faith. The Bible says God spoke and then he came into being. And when God was speaking, he believed that what he was speaking was going to happen, and then it happened. This world is a proof of faith. Praise the Lord. Are we together? The reason why you are born again is because of faith. Galatians chapter 3 says that, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The way you receive the Holy Spirit is by faith. So do you believe that Christ dwells in your heart? That's the starting point. If you don't believe that Christ dwells in your heart, you will not experience that reality. And it's you that God designed to be a champion. You may die as a loser because you didn't experience the reality of Christ dwelling in your heart. And remember that Christ dwells in your heart how? By faith. You must believe that. Amen. If you remember when we pray the sinner's prayer, it usually goes like this. Lord Jesus, I accept, come into my life and be my Lord and personal Savior. If you believe that prayer, you will experience that. There are many, many things I have known that there was no other way of me knowing it except that Christ dwells in my heart. I've seen people word of knowledge, for example, and told them things about them that there was no way I was supposed to know. The only reason I knew it was because Christ dwells in my heart. I've cast out demons quite a number of times. from people and from places with evidences. Remember a young man called me from South Africa some time ago, and he had some serious demonic affliction with evidences. And South Africa is far. I've never been there before. And I prayed to him. I prayed with him over the phone. I said, okay, he should call me back, because I was traveling when he called me. He said, he should call me back. And then he called back. And then I administered deliverance to him. And he received deliverance. Till today, he still contacts me. He's about to get married. The reason why the last time he contacted me, he said he was trying to call me. He wanted me to talk to the girl he wants to marry. Do you understand? Why did he retain that relationship for over 2 years now? Because Christ dwelt in my heart and he cast out that demon and he saw the evidences in his life. How did Christ dwell in my heart? Is it because of how big head? No, my head is quite big. It's big because there is plenty brain inside. Amen. Just like engineer. Hallelujah. Now, you see, no. Christ dwelt in my heart because I believed. I was told and I believed that if you accept Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, Christ will dwell in you. And I believed. Do you believe that Christ dwells in your heart? So it says that Christ may dwell in our heart. How? By faith. Through faith. And when Christ dwells in our heart, one of the first things that he will begin to do is to reveal to us how much God loves us. There are many Christians that are living defeated lives because they don't know that God loves them. If you know how much God loves you, fear will be catching you to sin. It's not because of fear that, hey, is that, with this kind of love that God loves me like this. Have you ever gone to write an exam? And the exam is a very expensive exam. Maybe the exam is worth 1 million naira. I don't think anybody has written such an exam here. I've never written such an exam. You pay 1 million naira to write an exam. Will you fail the exam? Oh, you've written such an exam. All these doctors. Will you fail the exam? Will you? Me, I pay 1 million naira to write an exam. I paid one money not long ago to write an exam. When I went there, they said I was supposed to come with a particular document. I came with the wrong document. And it's a computer exam. And that's how the money disappeared. He took the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He took the comfort of the Holy Spirit to help me to cope with that loss. Because by the time I registered for that exam, the money of that exam was almost my salary for a whole month. Praise the Lord. When you register for that kind of exam, will you write it the way you write free exam? You pay 1 million naira to write an exam, you must pass the exam. By force. Because you know how much it costs to sit for that exam. You see, that is how, when you know how much God loves you and how much God has spent on you in Christ, you'll be afraid to sin. And that is why Apostle Paul was praying that the Ephesians, since Christ was dwelling in their hearts by faith, they may know the love of God. And then the next point, before we continue our study, this long note I wrote, is that when they know the dimensions of the love of God, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Amen. Rooted means that the foundation of your faith. You know what it means for the root of something? That you are rooted and grounded in love. Exactly. That is, you know, the foundation of a building is the most important part of that building, right? But you know that it's not all of the building. He said that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to understand, may be able to comprehend, but not just you, with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. So the root of your work is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But it doesn't end there. There are dimensions of the love of God that you need to know. And the more of God's love you know, as this Bible verse reveals, it says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. What it's saying is that this knowledge is not the kind of knowledge that a human being can make you understand. It's spiritual knowledge. It passes normal knowledge. That's why I say, which passeth knowledge. Praise the Lord. You know, there are many believers that don't, the way they behave as if they don't really believe that God loves them. They behave as if they don't really believe that God loves them. Or, either they don't believe that God loves them, or they don't believe that God is powerful. Because if God is as powerful as God is, and they believe that God loves them, there are some things that they will not be able to believe. For example, you are going. Just give you a good example. It happens all the time. Maybe you wanted to carry this thing now, and this thing just fell. And the screen broke. This laptop fell, and the screen broke. And they are like, hey, God, why did you allow this thing to happen to me? And then they become angry. You know, if they truly believe that God loves them, the question is not, God, why did you allow this thing to happen to me? The question is, God, what are you trying to do by allowing this thing to happen? Because I know that whatever happens, whatever you allow to happen to me, is because it's for my good. It's because you love me. Even if I may not understand it now, I know you love me. Are you getting my point? Some people, something happens and they say, my enemy. Why are your enemies so? If God loves you so much and God is so powerful, why will your enemies be so powerful in your life? But remember, if you don't know the love of God, you will not walk in the love of God and you will not be full of the fullness of God. Are we together? So it says, let's look at verse 19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I must confess to you, I don't think I know all of this. I don't know all the dimensions of God's love completely. I'm knowing, I'm learning daily. The reason I can tell you this is because I am not filled yet with all the fullness of God. I am filled with God, yes, but not all the fullness of God. Because if you are filled with all the fullness of God, your life will be so powerful. Everything about you will be powerful. Everything about you will be powerful. We are talking about God here. If you are filled with the fullness of God, it's not only that you will not be falling sick, it's that people that are falling sick that you thought will be healed. You know, Jesus, a woman had an issue of blood for how many years? 12 years. So the matter has been confirmed to be a serious matter that does not have cure. And she touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. That is a person that is full of the fullness of God. A time came, it wasn't always like that. The Bible says, Peter, they will put sick people on the road. And when he's passing his shadow, if his shadow passes over them, they will be healed. Those are some of the manifestations of a person that's filled with the fullness of God. A car may be misbehaving. Are you with me? And then you say, what happened now? And you touch the car and the car starts working. Are you getting my point? That's what it means to be filled with the fullness of God. And that is God's will. Lazarus was dead. Properly dead and rotten. He had started smelling. Jesus Christ stood somewhere in the front of the tomb and called him and he came out. That is what it means to be filled with the fullness of God. But you see, the key to this is the love of God. Amen. You know, you would like for us to say the key to this is dry fasting. There's nothing wrong with dry fasting. I recommend it sometimes. But let the dry fasting come from the root of the love of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Stop living as if God is trying to... You know, some people think that when they fast and they punish themselves through fasting, then God is happy because they punish themselves. Do you know? That's not true. The reason why you should fast is not because of God. God does not need your fast. It's because of you to align yourself to the frequency of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? You take your attention away from all distractions so that you can focus. It's not about... God does not need your suffering. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so it says that we may be filled with the fullness of God. So the secret of being filled with the fullness of God is knowledge of the love of God. A time will come that you will know that no matter what happens to you, you can never be disadvantaged in life. It is a dimension of God's love that you know. The Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God. Because what happens is that even a dog, forget, no, I'm not talking about a human being. If a dog is convinced that you love it, the dog will love you. Even a dog. Oh, even a snake. If a snake is convinced that you love it, the snake will try and protect you. As bad and wicked as snakes are, don't they try to protect their children? Are you getting my point? How much more a human being? Even a bad person, a very bad person, if a bad person is convinced that you love him, you see, the problem is that there's a way a human being can be bad. Because I don't have time to prove to you from the Bible. The Bible says darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. There's a way human being... I'm not kidding. Darkness covers the earth. That is a function of the evil spirits, dark spirits. When the darkness enters human beings, it becomes gross darkness. We human beings have the capacity to amplify. It's one of the attributes that God gives us. We're created in the image of God. Do you understand? So, there are some people that by the time a wicked spirit entered them, but by the time they do wickedness, even the spirit will be learning work from them. I'm joking. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying, brethren, is that if you know that God loves you, the natural response of your soul, especially now that your soul has been regenerated, is that you will love God. And that's why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. It says, we love him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. You can write that down. 1 John 4, 17. We love him because he first loved us. The more aware you are of God's love for you, the more you will love God. And the more you love God, are we together? Now, why is it that it is when you are aware of God's love for you that God can now fill you? Because it says that we may know the length and the breadth and the height, the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Why is it that it is when we first of all know the love of God that God can now fill us? Why doesn't God fill us first so that we can know the love of God? The reason is simple. God only fills people that love him. God only fills people that love him. And the way to love God is by knowing the love that God... Remember, we love him because he first loved us. When you know, the more of God's love you know, you understand, the more of God's love that has been revealed to you, you will love God more. And the more you love God, the more God can fill you, because God only fills those that love him. He says that if you love me and obey my commandments, then my Father and I will come and make our abode with you. That's Jesus speaking. So the prerequisite to be filled with God is loving God. But the key to loving God, amen, is a revelation of the love of God for you. And you see, this one where I'm telling you, is a function. Of the work of the Holy Spirit. You can know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the first person you came in contact with. Sinners know the Holy Spirit. He's the one that convicts them of sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. He's in the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you were born again, you received of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to begin to, because that's not our study. Because I would have tried to explain to you the workings of the Holy Spirit. Because there's a reason why King James Version in some places refer to the Holy Spirit as it. And there are many Christians that refer to the Holy Spirit as it, not as him. Do you understand? You see, the reason is because the Holy Spirit does not just operate as a him. Sometimes he operates as a it, as a force, as a power. Are we together? And because of that, that scale of his operation, it's possible for him to even operate in a sinner. He operates in the sinner to convict him. But listen to me. Christ does not dwell in a sinner. You know, God is a Trinity. Everybody has his duty. The higher you go in your knowledge of God, the closer you are to the fullness of God. Whereas at some point, the only part of God you knew was the workings of the Holy Spirit. For example, it's the Holy Spirit that administers spiritual gifts. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I don't want to jump this lesson because it's quite long. This is a preamble. Only God knows how many weeks we used to complete this study. I pray God will give us speed in Jesus' name. Now, then the Bible says there are diversities of operations or diversities of ministry, but the same Lord. So, if you have a contact with the Holy Spirit, you can receive spiritual gifts. But just like I was teaching people in Bible study yesterday, you cannot receive ministry gift without having a contact with the Lord Jesus. And that is a function of growth. That's why Apostle Paul will say, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus? Is a degree of freedom through the word. He said, you know, Jesus Christ said, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples? And then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That freedom is not talking about freedom from spiritual freedom. It's talking about freedom of the soul from the entanglements and the culture and the system of this world. Are we together? So James will say that receiving the engrafted, he was talking to people who are believers. He said receiving the engrafted word that is able to save your souls. Because what the word of God will do is that it will ultimately change your worldview, your culture, to change the way you see life. So something before that you saw as good before, but God saw as bad, that you really saw as good. A time will come that you will see that thing, and the only way you can see it is as bad. Because the word of God has changed the way your mind. That's what the Bible refers to as being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, when you receive the word of God and you come in contact with the ministry of Christ, but you know the dimension of being filled with the fullness of God, because Jesus Christ promised that those that obey him, that love him, it's not just him, but him and his Father will come and make their abode. Even though you were ordained, Bro Mike, even though you were ordained as a prophet from your mother's womb, you will not receive the fullness of that ministry and walk in that ministry until you come to know Jesus. Praise the Lord. Not just the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. You will know Jesus. And that is the destiny of every believer. But many believers don't walk in it. Because many believers are not properly taught. Are we getting it? Until you come to know Jesus. How do you know Jesus?